Thank you, Andy, for leading us as always. We have, by the way, welcome and happy Easter. We'll do this a couple of times again. I say he is risen, and you know the response. He's risen indeed, so let's try it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And we're glad to be able to come and to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The greatest, most important event that occurred in human history. We just grateful to God for all those blessings. Again, we have a few things to take care of before we continue in our study. We have a list out in the foyer. This is the Singh family has asked us to, if we would, to provide a meal for them following the funeral services. And visitation is going to be here at the building Friday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. Then Saturday from 11 to 12, another hour of viewing and visitation. The funeral will be at 12 o'clock. There will be a graveside service, and we'll go and do that. And then after the service, the family and the friends will come back to the building for a meal. And as we have customarily done, we will supply fried chicken and a couple of hams, and we just need to ask the body to please help us with the rest, the side dishes, the desserts, the drinks, those things. We would appreciate your help. I do not yet know how many will be here. They are supposed to let me know that Tuesday, and I will send out that information to you. But if you can help, please sign the list. If you have questions, ask Carla, my wife. Is she doing Bible class this morning? Okay, so I guess if you don't want to talk to Carla, you can still talk to me, and I'll get the information to her. But if you want to be a part, please do that. We want to, to the best of our ability, extend to them our comfort and our love and our support in every possible way. This is a devastating loss for them, very unexpected, and just rough. It's when the resurrection of Jesus means more than ever before. Tom Pickett, who we have just covered in prayer for a long time, he's still in the hospital. We thought he was coming home, but the night before he came, he had some real difficulty getting stuff up out of his lung. As you know, they removed entirely the right lung because of cancer. And he is fighting a battle for his life every day. And we need to continue to keep Tom in our prayers. Just day by day, Bonnie let me know this morning that he had a very difficult night and his white blood count is going up. So we just need to continue to pray for Tom, that God will help him to recover, and hopefully he will be able to come home. And pray for Bonnie. If you've been in a situation like this where you have been in the hospital with a loved one or a family member for a length of time, you know how that can wear on you and how tiring it is. So please keep her all in the prayer. We have quite a list. Of course, we rejoice with Margie and her birthday. I asked Margie how old she was. Well, actually, I said that to Margie, and Carol answered and said, she's not telling. But I remember last year she turned 94. So if I got math right in the first grade, I think that means she's 25. So that's what I told her I would tell you. So we congratulate her on reaching her 25th birthday. And life has just been rough on her. You can kind of tell. So we're grateful for that. And of course, Jacqueline as well. It's good to be family. I was thinking as, we were singing Happy Birthday, you know, we've lost a brother. A family is in deep mourning. Tom, is fighting every day. And yet we also have those that are continuing to celebrate life. And that's really what we're here to celebrate today, is the life of Jesus Christ. He died, but he rose again. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 tells us God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Well, what exactly does Easter mean? I mean, what exactly is it about? What relevance does it have to me, to us, to our world? I mean, I know it's about Jesus. I know he's supposed to have risen from the dead. We picked that up. Someone said when I was at Harding years ago, never forget that a sermon has two parts. It has the what, and that's the resurrection, and then it has the so what, which is the application to us. And so the what today is he is risen. He is risen indeed. So you got to be quicker on that, all right? Try it again. He is risen. Amen. See, that's the what. But now the so what? How does that apply to me? Well, let me just give you a momentary review of who this man was that came to this world about 2,000 years ago, 100% man and 100% fully God. And it's very difficult for us to grasp that, but that's what the Bible teaches us. It is... The Bible says, you know this passage. By the way, remember we have folks who have moved into the area from other countries, and they are Spanish speaking, so I'm trying to put Bible passages up for them to read as they learn English and so on to help them. So that's the reason. But here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. God created. But when you read further into the scriptures, you learn that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We refer to them as the Trinity. It's a very difficult concept for me to get. I don't know about you, but I work at it. I believe it's true, though I don't fully understand it. But the Trinity was involved in the creation. God, and there's one God, but three distinct personalities. And we're told of Jesus' role back in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. John introduces Jesus to us, and he says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've memorized that in another version. But in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was already with God in the beginning. And here's what I want you to see. Everything came into existence through him. Not one thing that exists was made without him. He was the source of life, and that life was the light for humanity. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is the one who actually did the creating. It was God's will. He was fully involved, God the Father, but it was the Son who spoke. When we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it was Jesus' voice that spoke and said, become, and all that is became. There's a song that I have been listening to. It's called So Will I 100 million times. And in the song it speaks of, and when you spoke, 100 billion galaxies appeared just by the speaking of the word. It tells us of the incredible nature and the power of God, of Jesus Christ. He spoke, and 100 billion galaxies, like that appeared. That's the power of our God. That's who he is. In the vapor of your breath, the planets formed. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It's just a remarkable thing. It's confirmed in John 1, verse 10. John says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And there's much of the world today that still does not and will not acknowledge him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, we read, "Yet there, for us, there's but one God, the Father, from whom all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him." Jesus is the one in the Godhead who did the actual speaking and the creation, if I understand this correctly. In Colossians 1:16, Paul writes and says, "For by Him," speaking of Jesus, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." That's who He is. That's who He was. When He was walking this earth as a man, 5'8", 5'6", 5'7", 5'9", who knows? He was Jewish. We have an idea of what the Jewish nationality looks like. Jesus was a Jew. Back then, the average height of a man, they say, was somewhere between 5'6 and 5'7". So he's probably not a big man. Isaiah tells us he had no comeliness of form, which is a nice way of saying he wasn't good looking. He didn't reach people because of his beauty. He wasn't a Hollywood movie star in that aspect. He was just simply a man, but in that man dwelled the one who created everything there is. And isn't it remarkable that the one who could speak all of this in existence would care enough to come back and to die for us? I mean, to make us and then to die for us speaks of incredible love. And that, of course, is who Jesus is, and we celebrate Him. He is the creator of everything, seen and unseen. There are a lot of things that we haven't seen yet. I look forward to seeing them. But when we get there, we'll point to them and say, Jesus made that as well. That's who our Lord is. Hebrews 1, verse 2 tells us not only did He make the world, in these last days He's spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. But then in verse 3, He tells us it's by His power that everything continues. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. The reason that we know the sun is going to come up tomorrow, if we have it tomorrow, is because Jesus said, do it. The reason that we know we're going to have a moon rise is because Jesus said, do it. The reason that we know the earth is going to revolve around the sun, Jesus said, do it. Everything is going to continue as it goes on, dependable. We can predict to the second when the sun is going to rise. We can predict to the second when it's going to set. Doesn't matter what month, we can figure it out. That's how orderly this creation is. And it runs because Jesus said, do it. That's His power. And then one day, the Father will say to Him, it's time. And He will come back and He will claim all this, and we'll see everything that is invisible that we haven't yet seen. I know there are many people who acknowledge this. I acknowledge it. I believe it. I fought it for many years in my earlier life. I tried to disbelieve. I tried not to believe there was a God, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get away from the evidence. And as I began to examine and look, folks, more and more, it's so clear that everything that exists, somebody made it. Everything. Your car, your house, your watches, your earrings, whatever it is you've got. Somebody made that. And then people say, well, you know, there are those today that don't want to believe that. And you say, well, where did we come from? And they'll say, well, you know, nothing was there. There was nothing, and I guess nothing was doing nothing. And then one day nothing decided, I think I'll do something. And so nothing decided, we're just going to make everything. Come on. Honest? You can accept that and understand that we have the capacity to think logically, to understand, and it's not just the random atoms of the universe smashing together. It's because we've been created in the image of God and everything that that makes or that implies. And who made us? Jesus Christ. He's the one. And so we celebrate Him even though folks fight against it. The Word, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There was the fall. Man rebelled against God. Sin entered the world. Death through sin. But they couldn't let us go. So the one who created us came as a man in order to reconcile us and to redeem us and to buy us back so that we could have an eternal relationship and live with God forever. That's why we celebrate the resurrection today. Easter is about the resurrection. Colossians 1:17 says, He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And they will until He says it's time to stop. Resurrection. That's what Easter is about. That's the what, if you would. We are here about the resurrection. It's not because we've got a new Easter outfit. It's not because of the bunnies or the egg hunts. As much as I love that and as much as I thrill to watch the kids go out and hunt for the Easter eggs and get little goodies, who can be against that? But that's not what it's about. It's to celebrate what Jesus accomplished when He rose from the dead. So that's the what. Now let's talk about the so what. How does that apply to me? What difference does it make or should it make in my life? Well, here we go. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus means He's alive and among us today. He's with us. Before He went back to heaven, He said, came to the apostles and He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I can't tell you how many times I have quoted that verse. When I'm in knocking a door, trying to share the gospel with someone, and I'm fearful, I say, lo, I'm with you. I'm not here by myself. I'm not alone. He's always with me. How many times have we faced situations that can absolutely explode our lives, as in the death of James this week? Just unexpected. How many times when the doctor walks in and he says, yes, it is cancer, or you have MS, or yes, you have miscarried, or I'm sorry to tell you, the highway patrolman shows up and says, there's been an accident and he or she, your husband, your daughter, whoever, is dead. How many times does life just whack us upside the head? And we need to know we're not alone. How many times have we gone through this? How many times have we experienced it? And brothers and sisters, for us as Christians, I know I've said it in the past, but I say it again, what's the worst thing that could happen to you and to me as Christians? We could die and go to heaven. Isn't that terrible? I mean, we've got it made because the resurrection. But that means that Jesus is with us. He says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. And no matter what we're going through, that's the reality of the resurrection. He lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And He's with us every day. And do you believe that? Doesn't that help you? Doesn't that help us? No matter what, to know that the Lord is with us. That's one of the things about the resurrection. He is alive. He lives among us right now. Well, what does He do? Why is He doing this? Well, Hebrews chapter 7, I love this passage, 24 and 25 says, but Jesus lives forever, comparing the old priesthood in the Old Testament to the new priesthood in Jesus under the new covenant. He says, but Jesus lives forever, so He serves as a priest forever. That is why He is always able to save those who come to God through Him. He can do this because He always lives and intercedes for them. He's here. He lives. What does He do? He intercedes. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word in the Greek means, it's parakletos, but the word means one who runs alongside with a mindset to help. So when you and I are going through our lives, no matter what we face, if it's sin, if it's temptation, if we have fallen and we're trying to get back up and go, no matter what, Jesus is running alongside us. No matter what we're into, right, wrong, sin, doesn't matter. He's there and He's saying, what can I do to help? We're never without Him. That's one of the meanings of the resurrection. So you say, what is the so what? He ever lives to make intercession for us. People will tell you they live for all kinds of things. They live for the weekend. They live for football. Amen. They live for what do you live for? Cheryl lives for knitting and sewing. Ask her. She loves to do it. It's one of the things she does. I think personally she may be a little off, but you know, I mean, don't we all live for some things? Live for our kids. Live for our jobs. We live for this. Lord, what do you live for? I live to make intercession. To make sure that we are always right with God. Always in a right relationship with God. And He doesn't give up on us. That's one of the repercussions. That's one of the meanings. Jesus Christ, folks, is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And that's why we are here today to celebrate. He is among us today, and He always will be. Second, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that everything He said, every promise He gave, every claim He made, is good, it is truth, it is stamped with heaven's verification and approval. Every promise, whatever your favorite promise is, it's true and it's proven because He rose from the dead. He said it's going to happen, He said this is how it's going to happen, and He said if you don't believe me, tear this temple down, put it in the grave, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And He did. It's the power of the resurrection that declares everything He said. Jesus said He came to seek and save the lost. I'm so grateful for that. He didn't come to seek and save the good. He didn't come to seek and save the righteous. He didn't come to seek and save the flawless or the sinless. He came to seek the lost because He cares about us. And the resurrection guarantees us that that promise is true. He loves the lost. I've known some pretty obnoxious lost folks, have you? I've been one of them. I still am one of them. And you know the Lord doesn't give up on me. He doesn't quit. I want to give up on me. Do you ever wish that you could just take yourself and leave him or her over there and just go be someone else? I mean, the problem in my life is wherever I go, there I am. I can't get away from me. Oh, I'd love to be perfect. I'd love to never make a mistake. I'd love to never cause anyone to stumble. I'd love to do everything right. I wish people could look at my life and say, there goes a perfect man. But none of that applies to me. And every step of the way, Jesus is beside me saying, I'm with you. I'm going to get you there. I came to seek you. Doesn't matter what you've done. It matters, but not to Jesus. He came to seek and to save the lost. He said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, it's the same way with the Son of Man. He didn't come so that others could serve Him. He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many people. Because He loves us. That's what the reality of the resurrection means. And didn't He prove it? In Luke 7, we have the parable of the immoral woman coming into Simon's house. And washing Jesus' feet with her tears and covering His feet with her kisses and anointing His feet with a precious perfume. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. See, she had met Him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us about the encounter. But she'd met Him, an immoral woman. Some think she was a prostitute. Bible doesn't say. But she met Him. And so she heard the word speak. She felt the love. She saw that this one who came to seek and save the lost came to seek and save her as well. And it broke her heart. And she came to Him, I'm convinced, because she was repenting and needed the assurance of forgiveness. And Jesus said, it is yours. He's proven it time and time again. Nicodemus, coward. came to see Jesus when? Right in the middle of the day when everybody could see him? No, he came at night. Didn't want anybody to see him. Wanted to go check him out, but didn't want to get too carried away. Didn't want folks to think maybe he was really going to follow Jesus. Did Jesus say, "Ah, you coward, get out of here"? He sat down with him and he said, "Let me tell you about being born again." And he shared with him this tremendous message about being born again of water and the Spirit. He didn't reject him. There's the woman. John 4 tells us Jesus had to go through Samaria because there was a woman who lived in the village of Sychar, a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritans, who to the Jews you couldn't get any worse than to be a Samaritan. And she was the worst of the worst. They wouldn't have anything to do with her because she'd had five husbands and was now living in open adultery with another. And what happened? Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost, came to seek and save her. It doesn't matter what you've done. Everything he said is true. Everything. In John 8, the woman is caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus tells her, "Where are those who condemn you?" He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Do you see? Do you see who he is? The one who made us incredibly loves us. And then there was the thief on the cross. The very last act. There he is, finishing. He's going to say, in a short time, it is finished. He did it. It's done. Death is defeated. The victory is won. All he needs now to do is to rise from the grave so that we'll understand he was telling us the truth. And on the way, this thief said, "I've come to believe in you. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." I tell you what, folks, I would gladly swap places with that man. How about you? Was the cross agonizing? Was the death cruel beyond our understanding? But Jesus took him home, and there he is to this day, because that's why I came. Everything he said about coming to find us is true. And we're all guilty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, our Creator. It's just so amazing. Romans 5 says, look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. Unworthy, helpless, sinners, rebellious. Every word that Jesus said that he came to seek and save us, folks, is true. The resurrection of Jesus means he was being straight with us. We need to hear this one. He's being truthful. He's being dead serious when he said he is the only door to everything heaven has to offer. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We are told, "And there is no other name given among men," pardon me, "and there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We read the apostles saying, "There's no other name given among men, given under heaven, by which we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the one who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Now, there are people all over who reject this, who are hurt by this, who claim this is the ultimate arrogance of a Christian. How dare anyone stand up and say, "I'm it, I'm the only way," when every road the world wants to say leads to heaven. But Jesus says, "Let me tell you, every word I said is the truth. Who else is the God that created us? Jesus is. There is no other. He died for us. Who could do that except Jesus? Who can forgive us except one who is God?" Muhammad couldn't, Buddha couldn't, Confucius couldn't. No other man-made religion can do that. Only Jesus Christ. He's the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says we've all sinned. We deserve this. This is the tomb of Muhammad. There it is. If you want to see his body, he's inside. This is the tomb of Buddha. Buddha died. If you want to see the bones or the dust or whatever's left, it's right there. This is the tomb of Confucius. You notice a theme? Every one of them died. Jesus did too, except he rose again, never to die again. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ did. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks, means that he has defeated death. You can find the bodies of Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, other leaders. I understand that Farrakhan recently told us that he is Jesus Christ. Well, folks, he may think he is, but I guarantee you, he'll be dead soon. I don't care if he lives a year, 10 years, 20 years, he'll die just like we will. But folks, he won't come back unless and until Jesus says, come back. Jesus is the one who has saved us. And how we need to understand that. The Romans tried to stop him. They put guards around the tomb. They put a seal across the stone. They guarded it 24/7. If they put the entire Roman army in front of that tomb, it wouldn't have been able to stop Jesus Christ. Understand, this is who he is, and this is what we celebrate today. My favorite cartoon. I've shared it with you for years. BC, he is not here, for he is risen. And he comes out and he says, yes! And I feel that way today. I feel that way every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He is risen! One more time. I surprised you. Here it comes. He is risen!
He is risen.
Praise God! That's exactly why we're here today. Lee Strobel says the resurrection of Jesus is the best attested event of ancient world. You see, some people think of the resurrection as some old moldy, dusty, past thing that happened in history that has no impact on us today. It is the most important event in all of human history because it verified everything that Jesus came to do and everything that he said. And the one who said he'd rise again, who has risen again, says, I'm also coming back. And we'll stand before him at judgment. So, folks, take him serious. The resurrection of Jesus means that death is defeated, and we never need to fear that faker again. Now, that's hard. You struggle with that? I've told you this. This is where I am. I fear how I'm going to die. By that, I mean I hope that I don't have a long, drawn-out, extended, painful death. I don't know anyone who hopes that. My hope, I put my head on the pillow and wake up in heaven. That's what I hope, but the fact is, very few of us die that way. I fear maybe how I'm going to die, but I do not fear what awaits me on the other side. You say, why? How can you do that? Because I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he proved it by rising from the grave. And he said, I'm the first, and I'll come and get you, and you're coming with me. I'm going to raise you again, just as I rose. Folks, that's the power, and so we don't need to fear death. There's so many passages. Time's sake, let me just share two. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says, for this purpose, Jesus partook of flesh and blood, like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to bondage all their lives. If you're Christ's and you're following him, you have nothing to fear from death. How do we know? Because he rose again. He rose to prove it. But folks, we better be ready for it. We've talked about that and studied that in the past. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we have all earned the wages of sin, and Jesus wouldn't let us go. The second passage is Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:10. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now you say, wait a minute, he abolished death, don't we still die physically? Yes. But you remember in John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus? That he said, if we believe in him, we'll never die. I had a procedure this week. Most of you, those on the mail list, know. It was on Tuesday. They went in to have the procedure at 7:30. They took me in the prep room for surgery, got me all ready, and the anesthesiologist came out and said, here's what we're going to do. They wheeled me back, got me where I needed to be for the procedure, and then the anesthesiologist said to me, I'm starting the anesthesia. And I remember I got to say, well, I'm feeling a little, and I never completed it. And it was like, if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like existence ceased. It just stopped. And so when they wheeled me out and I was coming to, I had no concept of how long it had been. There was no clock. Don't turn around and look at ours now because I said that. There's no clock. So Carla came back and I said, honey, what time is it? Well, about 3 hours had gone by. I had absolutely no awareness of that passage of time. It's remarkable. It's kind of cool. Can I say that? I mean, wow, didn't feel a thing, didn't hurt a bit. They got the job done. And that's what it's going to be like when we die. We will be here, death will occur, and in a blink, we will be in the presence of Jesus himself. We will be with him. That, brothers and sisters, is why the resurrection and why we are celebrating today. The resurrection of Jesus means that we can live boldly in this life since death has been defanged and, new word, demonstrified. If that's not a word, it needs to be one. Demonstrified. What's that mean? We don't have to fear death anymore. Why? Jesus has overcome death. I'm going to live on forever, for eternity with God in heaven. I mean, folks, it's just amazing. And if I don't have to fear death, then I don't have to fear life. The changes that God brings about in our lives, it's because of the power of the resurrection. I know I'll live on. And even though it took a while to learn to speak out, it took a while to learn what to say, it took a while to realize that even if I wasn't on the same level intellectually with some of the people I've studied with, I still needed to teach Jesus to them. Or if they were below me, wherever it is, there's no fear now. I'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime about Jesus. He's my favorite subject. Because folks, he has saved me. Imperfect, ungodly, unrighteous, fallen me. And the fear is gone. And I really care more about you getting to heaven than I do care about what you think of me for believing there is a heaven and a Christ who will get us there. I want you to go. I want you to go. But not nearly as much as he does. So it removes the fear. Almost done. The resurrection of Jesus means we've got a gospel, ladies and gentlemen, unlike any other message on the planet, and everybody needs to hear it. There isn't any other message proclaimed like the message Jesus has given us. Because he rose from the dead. He conquered death. And there's no one else to go to. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We know this. No one comes into the Father but through him. That is something that we need to get out. And finally, from here on out, all who are in Christ from here on into eternity, the news is all good for us. Any trouble along the way is just so many speed bumps. We are told that the message of Jesus is good news. And we're told that for good reason. Because it is good news. How many times have you faced death? How many times have you lost someone that you love? How many more times will we face that? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes and prevents it. Every one of us. So, what is it that gives us the courage to go on? My eternity is in the hands of Jesus. He's faithful. He won't give up. He lives to get me there. And brothers and sisters, according to him, my sins are gone. I mean, they're gone. Not because I didn't do them, but because Jesus on the cross died for them, and because he rose again, I can be forgiven. The message of Jesus is called good news because, folks, it is good news. Here's a truth. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Think on that one. Blessed is the one the Lord will never count their sins against them. What does that mean? John says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. Like that windshield wiper wiped the water away. When we sin, his blood just washes it away and washes it away. It's in the present perfect tense, which means it never stops. As I'm walking in the light with him, he doesn't count my sin against me. He washes it away and forgives. I want you to understand that, because that is the consequence of Jesus. He has nailed my sin to the cross. The blood of Jesus has washed me of all sin. There is no condemnation in Christ, Paul said in Romans 8:1. Are you listening? Do you hear that? All gone, all forgiven, all taken care of, all washed away. I never thought I'd be able to say that, but that's what the Bible says. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24 says, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. It was through his death. His death was brutal. It was bloody. It was awful. The pain was horrid. The torture, extreme. People believe that crucifixion is the worst method of death ever invented by mankind. And Jesus suffered it. Why? Because he was paying for our sins. It wasn't that we got off scot-free. It's that he said, if you pay for it, you can't. You'll die. You'll wind up being lost. So he says, I lived without sin. I'm perfect. I'm God. I'll pay. And we receive the benefits. Wow. That's why we celebrate, folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how they abused him, how they mistreated him. That should have been me. It should have been you. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I celebrate Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ. I love God. I love the Holy Spirit. I love his church. I love righteousness. I love purity. I wish I could be pure, but I still love purity. I still love what's right as opposed to what's wrong. All of that is because Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I have been born again. And what I'm saying of me, of course, I'm trying to say of you. We've all, if you have come to Jesus, we've been born again. We've been adopted into the family of God. My name is written in the book of life. So is yours. And one day I'll get to stand before him and hear him read it. Richard Allen Magoo. I looked online to see how many Richard Allen Magoos there are in America. There's a whole bunch more than I thought there were. So he's going to have me as 1,922 Magoo. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know how, but I know I'll stand and he'll say, you, well done. Well done. Enter in. That's our destiny because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I have been given his Holy Spirit. I am indwelled by his Spirit. His Spirit undergirds me. His Spirit is over me. It's in front of me. It's behind me. I go nowhere without him being with me. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am called. I am sent. I am accompanied. I am commanded. I am instructed. I am blessed. I am filled. And I'm used by God for his purpose. That's the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How about you? How about you? That's who you are if you're in Christ. And all of those things are ours because Jesus is the one who made them possible. Now look, some of these things are hard to understand. It takes a while for it to sink in. I have struggled for years with the belief that God has really forgiven me, that He's really done it, because I know I am so imperfect and so sinful. And yet, I'm guaranteed time and time and time again that He did that, and the power, the proof, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He meant every word He said. Every promise. And that's what we celebrate today. Do you know Him? Are you following Him? Do you believe in Him? One day, no matter what else is going on in your life right now, one day, this is the only thing that will matter. Do you know Jesus Christ? He wants to know you. He's done everything so that you can come to Him and receive the blessings that we've talked about. If you don't know Him, would you do that today? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to make the confession that He is the Christ and to be buried with Him in baptism, we are ready to help you. If you need us to pray with you, if you're struggling and you need help, we're ready to help you. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song, and we ask you to come if we can help you in any way as we stand and as we sing.